Testing. Testing.
Echo. 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 There we go.
Holy.
Holy
put this
smokes.
Really far away because my voice gets really loud.
But my voice does not get really loud.
So weird.
That's okay. Whatever.
All right.
So how's your week? Or two weeks, or whatever the fuck
we're at.
Yeah, let's start.
All right, episode 32.
32.
Last night we had our dress rehearsal
for the
show for Oliver, and they sold tickets to the dress rehearsal for $5.
Oh, that's
sold
cool.
out show.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, very cool.
So, it's very, very cool.
I'm sure it was kind of nice to do it in front of people as well.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. So tonight's opening night, and I'm excited. It's
going to
be good.
Yay!
Good.
Opening night. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very exciting.
So, you know, my whole life is consumed right now with
Oliver.
With the show, and we have 13 performances, so for the next 16 days, I'm going to be doing nothing but shows every night. So, it's fun, though. It's a lot
cool.
of fun.
Cool. Well, good. It should be.
Awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. It's this big rotating thing, and it moves during the course of the production.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's really, really
That's
good.
Really cool.
Yeah, so how about you?
Good. Things have been a little crazy at work. We've got somebody leaving, actually, so it's, I don't know, stuff is nutty, and I'm thinking about starting to put my resume out there. I'm just getting, I'm fed up.
You've had it, huh?
I've had it.
Well, that's right. You've been able to consume yourself with your Xbox 360 to console your
worries. That's right. So my birthday was last week, and turned the big 3-5.
Old man.
I know. But our podcast episodes are almost catching up with my age now.
Yes, pretty soon they
will
surpass.
Which will mean absolutely nothing at all.
Right.
Yeah. My wife got me an Xbox 360 for my birthday, which I've been spending a lot of time on. Not as much time as I would like.
You want more time on it?
But I want more time on it. All yes, right. There's not enough. I fucking sleep.
Stupid, isn't it?
I hate having to sleep.
Yeah.
It's the most irritating thing ever.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
It's like 8 hours of your day completely wasted.
Just gone. Just gone. Well, let's start the episode, shall we?
All right. What do we got here?
Corrections and comments.
Welcome a new member. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Liana?
Liana?
Liana? Is it
I assumed it was Liana.
Liana?
Yes. Lay.
Liana.
Liana.
New listener?
Yes.
And
prolific form poster?
Prolific. A fine, fine word. Yes.
Yes.
We're always excited to have new listeners, especially when they're prolific.
Prolific form posters.
Yeah, so welcome.
Welcome, Liana, and our first girl.
That we know of, yes.
That we know
girl.
Of.
Other than,
right.
Whose mom was that?
Well, other than number three.
Right.
Man, I make myself laugh.
Okay, so I wanted to post that real quick.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's mom.
I forget who it was.
Was listening. I can't imagine she listens anymore.
No, not after all the stuff we've been through.
No. Not after that week we spent in Bangladesh.
Right.
Yeah.
Bangladesh.
I spent a week in Bangladesh one night. So just another quick one. Somebody posted a thug workout on the.
That's funny.
It's a really cool workout. I actually did some investigation. They do sell like half hour videos.
I always wondered how street kids got so buff.
Well, that's it. I thought it was from...
Really, I say that because rappers typically are all muscly, and I'm assuming because they're rappers, they're street folk, and they live in boxes, and they're sort of like hobos. I get paid a lot of money.
Sure. That's how it works, man. That's exactly how it works. That's, you know, heck, dude, when you're not drinking or doing the crack.
Or the crack hose.
Or the crack hose getting the chicken neck, you are working out. That's just life on the streets.
There you go.
Thug style. Living thug style.
Living it up thug style.
That's right.
So the thug workout.
So it was just kind of an interesting video and an interesting idea that...
did you see the video?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
I watched a few of them, actually.
Okay.
And the thing that impressed me the most about these guys are very serious. They're talking about isolating muscle, sets of muscles, and how best to, you know, get a workout and how to get definition.
So it's not like how to outline your pimp hand or nothing like that.
No, no, it's not like the jewels you put on your pimp cup
or how to do
callusing
those.
Up your pimp hand on your makawara board.
Makawara.
So yeah, I was just impressed at how thorough they were and how professional it was in that it's an interesting genre. So. I don't know.
Very cool.
There's an idea out there for everybody, man.
It's true.
Your $1 million is just waiting for you. You just got to get the right idea.
Yes. Another quick one here.
Yes.
I just got an email today from Lagbert, and
you know what? That's Yeah. Send us an email.
About a podcasting legal guide.
Yes.
That was done in I think it was a wiki of some sort.
Well, it was done on the Creative Commons board, so
yes.
Lawrence Leisig sort of runs that area.
And that was interesting, obviously, because we're podcasters.
Yes.
And most of the stuff that was in that guide, we are well aware of.
And
copyrighted
actually,
stuff and all the music and stuff we use, is we have permission to use that.
And that's one of the things that I was most curious about, though, because I listen to a lot of other podcasts. Keith and the Girl is a good example of this, where at the end of their show, they use a song, a full song.
Right.
And I've always been curious about if somehow it's legal because it's low quality or...
Well, probably what happens is, and this is... Because I don't think they make... Do they make money off of their show, like, for advertising and stuff like that?
They did for a while. They were advertising Big Love on HBO, believe it or not.
Oh, they were. Yeah. So that may change then. Well, because that's part of it. If they're making money off of it.
Right.
But typically what happens is you can call someone and say, hey, or write them and say, hey, can we use your song? We're just...
Right, and it's not a big deal.
Most of the time, they're going to be like, yeah, sure, because that's free advertising for them.
It's 96K.
Right.
It's not like anybody who really wants to listen to the song is going to rip it from their podcast.
Yeah, so they probably, maybe not, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, especially since they're so popular and stuff, that they probably get permission from somebody to play
the song. I did think it was interesting that they're different copyright rules apply to teachers.
Yes.
And librarians.
Right. But those have to be face-to-face venues.
Right.
Like, you couldn't go, hi, this is the teaching podcast, and so here's
I'm
the novel
I'm going to be
Moby
teaching
Dick.
About music. Today, you will hear Metallica.
Right. It has to be a face-to-face thing. And actually, that site had some very good examples about, you know, this is okay because da-da-da-da, and they kind of spelled out.
So thank you, Lagbert.
Yes, appreciate that.
And if you have any questions about... legalities in podcasting, it's a good link. And if you also have a legal degree, because to sort through that fucking thing was pretty intense. So send it to your lawyer.
Yeah, anybody who speaks legalese.
Yeah.
It's probably you might understand a little
bit. You know what'd be really nice is to have like a two or three paragraph breakdown. Don't be stupid. Don't publish other people's stuff unless you have permission.
Right. Right.
Done.
And don't make money off of someone else's stuff without their permission.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of making money...
dramatic pause.
Well, I was thinking about us making money off the podcasting thing, right?
Yes.
Well, and you know how some stars, they charge people to like, if you want a particular star to go to a party...
Yes.
Then you can hire that star to go to your party to do stuff.
Okay.
Not even to do stuff, just to be there.
Just to be there, right.
Just to be
there.
For
the name and for people to go, ooh, for the wow factor.
Right. So, if anyone in our listening audience would like to hire Sterling and or myself for a party, a get-together, bar mitzvah. bat mitzvah.
Sweet.
Right? Anything?
Any kind of mitzvah.
$5.
$5.
$5 a piece, though.
A piece? I thought we'd give them a group discount if they had
well,
a
Well, see,
maybe
the
we
thing is, though, in all
bucks.
Honesty, if they invite you and give you the $5, you'll probably invite me anyway, so...
That's true.
I, you know.
You usually invite yourself. You're tagging along.
I just go anyway.
I can't get rid of you,
yeah, well, the, if there's beer there or something...
That's true.
You know. Oh, that's the other thing. It's got to be an open bar.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be an open bar. But $5.
Five bucks.
I think that Britney Spears is getting like 20,000, so...
I think that's comparable then. I mean, if you...
I think you're getting a good deal for us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We do not have boobs.
No.
So you take 19,000 off for that. We're not quite as famous. You take another $995 off of that.
You got $5.
You got $5.
I'm down with that.
$5.
There you go.
On to martial arts stuff.
Yes.
One-inch punch. I don't know why that makes me giggle. there was a really interesting sort of documentary slash article. No, it was just a documentary. It wasn't an article at all. I think it's on YouTube or something. I don't know. I'm not going to click on the fucking link now.
Okay.
It was on YouTube or something, and it was like a mini documentary about Bruce Lee's one-inch punch.
Oh, yeah.
The theories behind it. And I don't know. I think I'm a little skeptical of the whole one-inch punch thing. Not that I'm skeptical of the ability to do a one-inch punch, but I'm skeptical that there's some sort of abilities that are specific to short... what do they call that? Short punching or short-ranged attacks or...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing mystical and magical about it. It's just proper body mechanics.
Well, and I think that you need that those proper...
Hey, speak English.
Oh, damn it. I sink back into my Japanese every once in a while.
Or whatever that was.
It was... Oh, that's the phone. But
yeah, I'm going to ignore it.
I don't even think anybody can hear it anyway.
I'm going to ignore it.
I think that you need proper body mechanics, whether your target's 1 inch away or 2 feet away.
Yes, but I think the point of the whole one-inch punch is you can generate as much power from an inch away as you can from a mile away if you have proper body mechanics.
Yeah.
The point is the distance between you and your target is... irrelevant.
Well, and I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if practicing the one-inch punch helps you develop your body mechanics for the six-inch punch.
I would think it would.
You know, because you have to, you know, you can make up for timing, and you can make up for a lot of stuff when you have more time to adjust your body.
Right.
You know, if you have, you know, 6/1000ths of a second as opposed to one, you can adjust your body in a lot of different way in that time, but if you have to make everything happen in that 1 inch in the time that it takes your fist to go 1 inch,
yes,
then I don't give a fuck anymore. Fuck this. Fuck this podcast. I'm getting out of here, man. I'm just going to write on the forms from now on.
We worked on this, though, like several years back. We used to do the phone book drill.
Yeah, we used to do the phone book drill.
And it were, I mean, you can send somebody staggering backwards,
yes,
if they're not prepared, you know, and you have to really cinch down and get ready for the punch when it's done properly.
Yep.
And you use a phone book because it hurts if you don't. But the point is when your whole body works together as one unit, you're right. I mean, you figure out within that inch, however much time it takes you to move that inch, everything has come into coordination with with everything else, and you can deliver a massive amount of
It becomes a much more apparent where your faults are.
Yes,
when you don't get it right.
Right, and it helps you to organize your body.
Yeah,
because you do it, and it's like, why doesn't this work? And you figure it out.
You know, it's just all on my arm. I'm using just muscle muscles.
I'm only using my arm.
Right.
Or this, or I'm not twisting my hip into it. I mean, the hip plays a big part. You know, and that's a big part of any movement in the martial arts. Your center of gravity,
right,
and getting your body to move into the whole thing, you know.
Yep.
Tai Chi principle.
Everything
generates from the ground, up through your legs, out through your limbs.
And then there's always that speed versus power balance, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting,
the
whole concept of the one-inch punch and short power as opposed to long power.
Yeah, I think it's important to know about
so
it
too.
And to work with it because it will, I think... they aid one another. I think having good short power will aid in your long power, and vice versa.
Well, and if as I've always said, trapping range is a very uncomfortable place for most people.
Yes.
And so I think that it's good to practice in trapping range because it's good to not be uncomfortable when someone does it to you.
Yep.
And it's good to make someone else uncomfortable when it's not good for them.
Right.
So just for everybody that doesn't know, trapping range is generally if you've ever seen boxers go, it's sort of like the instant before the clinch.
Right.
You know?
It's not quite grappling and it's not quite punching range.
Yeah, it's
right
closer than punching range, but it's not quite grappling.
Right.
And so it's right in between where...
It's a very uncomfortable range.
It is.
Because most people will not stay in it longer than they need to.
It's always a transition.
They either want to go in and wrestle,
or
they want to come
punch.
Out and punch.
Yeah.
And to stay in the middle is very uncomfortable.
Well, and there's a lot of targets and a lot of weapons in that range, and
right.
you can't see any of it.
Right. In fact, it's a great staying and trapping range is a great drill for what do we call that? Sensitivity.
Right.
The sensitivity drill, because you can't use your eyes.
Yep.
It happens too fast.
Well, and Wing Chun uses the Chi Sao drill.
Yes.
For touch sensitivity.
Yes.
Stuff.
That's a very good drill for that.
So.
Wing Chun happens to be. I mean, that's a pretty good art for picking up some of the characteristics of a trapping range.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it was Bruce Lee's root art.
Right.
Is Wing Chun. So. Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Good
I
stuff,
like it.
Man. I think I'm done with martial arts stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you had anything else.
I don't have anything else.
All right.
But I was going to mention the fact that martial arts is really about just making everybody uncomfortable.
Yes, that's a very good point, actually.
Yeah.
A very good point. And
that's all I have to say about that.
I think I'm a little uncomfortable right now.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Tech tips. Google is Kugel? Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to make a reference to cool and tie it back to Google.
Oh, I got it. It's just stupid.
Right. I found a new site, a new Google thing. It's finance.google.com.
Ah, yeah.
If you've got any interest in stocks or got any stocks or anything like that, Google has a really, really neat... Oh, did you turn up the priority on...
No.
You dumb shit.
Hold on, folks. While we adjust our priorities.
We've got to reprioritize
our...
There we go. Why pause it, dude?
I don't know. So they don't have to hear us bitching at each other because you're an idiot.
Ooh, you're an idiot. Oh, you're so clever. Okay. We made it high.
All right.
I'll edit all this out anyway.
Sure you will. Like you've done all the other times you said you edited it out. Google is Google. All right, Google Finance.
Yeah, so you got to check this shit out.
Oh, right? Yeah, this is a stock market summary type thing. They got charts and graphs and headlines.
Graphemas. And so watch this. Look at that. How cool is that?
So what is that? Explain. Our audience can't see us. This is radio.
What's that?
Our audience can't see us. This is radio.
We got to start filming this stuff, dude.
I don't want to film it.
It'd be so fascinating. People could watch us browse the internet.
Well, damn, now that you put it that way.
They got some Ajax shit on the site. It's pretty neat. Let's move on.
No, well, I want to... We're going to go to tech and science.
Okay.
However, I'm going to skip the wartime radio article real quick to talk about Gmail
is
being
creepy. Speaking of Google.
Yes, Gmail. Creepy.
Gmail is Google Mail.
It is. Gmail is Google Mail.
Okay, I've got a side note. The Teller, the Pendulette podcast.
Yes.
The Pendulette podcast. He's constantly referring to the fact that he's getting these Gmails. And I'm like, they're fucking emails. It just happens to be that you have a Gmail account.
Right.
Stop calling them Gmails.
Yeah, I don't want to... I mean, I like Google and I like Gmail, but we're not going to turn emails into
Gmails,
okay?
Yeah.
They're emails.
Yes.
That's a fine aside.
Sorry, that
All
was
right.
a little rant.
Well, I came across this article the other day because I'm pretty much a Google fanboy.
Yeah, me too.
I'll admit it. But this always happens when somebody starts to become too big. People start to look for all... People start to look for all the, you know, the chinks in their armor and try to find ways to kind of bring them back down a little bit.
Yeah.
And this was an article about Gmail and about the fact that they had recently modified all their privacy policies because they didn't comply with some new laws in California and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what it turns out is, and I don't know how people feel about this, and I'm just interested to know because I know, I think especially Blue Screen Mike has some issues about privacy in his computer.
He's a bit of a freak.
Yeah, I think so.
I like it.
What happens, though, is whenever you send an email through Gmail or Gmail comes in, they scan all your emails.
That's right. That's how they get the customized advertising.
And then they get customized advertising. Well, the thing is, apparently, they can keep track of keywords and email accounts.
Oh, yeah.
So now you've got this list floating around there of, you know, my email
this
name is associated with specific search keywords.
To tell you the truth, I think this is a problem with the general internet population, is that for some reason, there is this conception that the internet is anonymous. Everybody says yay. They think it's
anonymous, right?
And it's not.
It's not at all.
It's not at all. At all. There is no anonymity to it whatsoever.
Right.
Every time you send a packet, any data at all, from your computer to anywhere else, it's logged probably 20 different places.
Yes.
And so the only way, if someone is concerned about this stuff, if they're genuinely worried about Google reading their emails, then they need to not use web-based mail.
You need to just not use a computer.
Right, that's a very good point. Or use PGP.
Right.
Which is an encryption algorithm, and nobody's fucking getting through 128 PGP.
I would say, for the most part, this is my deal, for the most part...
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. And the thing is, you're not... The safety and computers, for as far as privacy, safety and computers, they don't mix.
Right.
You are not going to be perfectly safe using a computer and surfing the web.
I do think I think that it's important to understand, though, that there are things in place that allow you to securely access websites, and in fact, I would say a credit card transaction over the internet is safer than a credit card transaction in a brick-and-mortar store.
Yes, it is. Because no one sees that number but you in the computer.
Because it's wrapped in...
A protective shell,
in
so
a protective
speak.
Shell, in an SSH shell.
Yes.
So, I think there are times when it's just fine. But using... And if I use PGP, right, and client-based email... I can wrap my email in a protective shell, send it to you, and you can then unwrap it and read it.
Right.
Right? The whole way through, it's protected, and nobody can read it. Now, obviously, people can see the fact that I sent something to you.
Right.
Right? Because that's what the logs track. But if your data is being housed on something that is not the computer under your desk... You do not have control over that data.
Correct.
You can make the perfectly good assumption that if the FBI goes to the company that owns that server, let's say you own the server, but it's not under your desk, and the FBI asks the company that owns the building that your server's in, we need to get to that server. They're going to go,
they're
going to
let
him
in.
Here's the key, dude. Have fun.
Well, and that's an interesting point. One of the other things mentioned in this article was that most companies nowadays, when the FBI or whatever says, hey, we need, you know, we need information off your computer. Well, most companies will say, you need to get a warrant.
Sure.
And then we will give it to you.
Right.
Google does not do that.
Oh.
All they need to do is be subpoenaed, and they're like, here you go. They'll bend over, lift their skirt up, and undo their bra. All you need is a subpoena.
Man.
Yeah.
If only I'd known that in high school. I got a subpoena for you, baby.
Is this more talk about the one-inch punch?
It might be, because that's about it.
Yeah, so interesting article. Just read through it if you're interested. If you have any kind of concerns about privacy or just interested in internet
privacy. If you have any
kind of
concerns about privacy,
Google,
don't fucking use web-based mail.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, web-based mail is safe. Well, I mean, Google or Gmail, when you sign in and all that kind of stuff, it's got HTTPS. I mean, the HTTPS protocol, which is a secure protocol.
The transmission between you and the person that you're sending it to is
relatively safe.
But if you think it's safe from the FBI,
no,
you're kidding yourself.
And nothing is. And the other thing that I guess my question is,
and I would argue that point,
well, I would say many things are not many things, most things the FBI can get at,
right?
But my other thing is this: who cares?
Right.
If you're housing something so important to your existence on the internet, you're a fool.
Now, I will take a counterpoint to this.
Point counterpoint.
I'm like Ed Grimley, and you're no. I don't know who's the, whatever. The O'Reilly Factor.
Yeah, get to the point, Dan.
So what was my point again?
I don't know. You were counterpointing my deal where I said.
Let's say the current administration wants to find out if people are pissed off about the war in Iraq. And so they say to Google, we want to find all the emails that have the word pissed and Iraq in it in the same email.
Right.
That's getting kind of creepy to me.
That is creepy. And they could do that if they wanted, probably.
Yeah,
and Google, if they subpoenaed them for it,
right,
would, like I said, they'd
bend
just
over.
Bend over.
Take it in the ass.
They'd say, here you go.
Man, that's hot.
But here's the deal. What is wrong with you? Google.
Take it in the ass.
I think that...
Man, that company's only like 5 years old, right?
If you're
That's
honestly...
That's kind of really creepy now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're giving it up early. If you're honestly that concerned about it, if you're so concerned that they might find out you did a search about Iraq and pissed off at President George W.
Well,
Bush...
Well, what I'm saying
you
is...
You need to not use the internet.
But what I'm saying is there's two levels of concern. There's a level of concern for my personal... I'm concerned about my personal privacy being violated. And there's the concern of I am concerned about the government having a little bit too much power and too much authority over things that are happening on the internet.
No, and you're right, and I agree with that. But my contention is if you're that concerned about it, the only solution for you is to stop using the internet.
That's right.
Because that's the only way you're really going to get that privacy back.
Or fucking move to Sweden if you're...
Or Sweden.
Sweden, Canada is a good one.
I don't like Canada. Too many French people.
That's true. There
they
are
smell.
A lot of French, but it's very clean in Canada.
Is it?
It's very clean.
You sure?
I like that. Yeah. Yep.
Huh. I haven't been there in a while.
Although I think the women are kind of furry. So.
What's cold up there?
It is cold. I guess they need it.
And plus,
they?
I think Canadians are descended from Yetis. So.
Ah, the Yeti.
French Yetis.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So, okay, enough about creepy Gmail and internet privacy.
Okay, let's talk about wartime radio. Should we talk about wartime radio, or did you want
let's,
to pass that
let's
one
move
too?
On and do it next, because I think Web 2.0 is somewhat related
Jesus
to what we've
Christ,
been talking
you're
about.
Complicated. You're a complicated man.
I am. Well, thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Web 2.0?
Okay, well, this is sort of an aside. One of the things I thought that I would do occasionally is, because I think that our listeners may not be... on the inside of the tech-savvy stuff.
Right.
Like, for example, I've been hearing a lot about Web 2.0.
Me as well.
And I'm sure that a lot of people may be thinking to themselves, well, what is Web 2.0?
Right.
And I think the biggest problem with Web 2.0 is it doesn't have a good definition to it.
It's because it's a stupid concept.
It is a stupid concept. It's a buzzword.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's just a buzzword. And generally what Web 2.0 is talking about is a lot more intelligence on the client side of an internet page.
Right.
So DIG and or, right, community involvement.
Right.
So DIG is a good example of Web 2.0. Is that they're not using the classical architecture or the classical structure of posters and editors and, you know, the people behind the scenes doing stuff.
Right.
They're relying almost 100% on the combination of community and algorithms to define their website.
Or algorithms.
Or algorithms. But algorithms are kind of complicated.
They are.
So
algorithms
know,
are much easier than
I don't know much about
algorithms.
It's big, it's heavy, it's wood. So I posted one thing. I put one link up here called Ajax Word, which is really cool. It's essentially a word processor that's on the web. That's all web-based stuff. It's really cool. So I think that people should keep in mind if they're reading articles, if they're like getting PC Week or something like that, and people are talking about Web 2.0, all it is it's a marketing term to get people excited about shit that has existed for a long time. So I just sort of wanted to go over that a little bit because I had a little bit of a rant about the fact that it just doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
And I think it serves to confuse people more than anything else.
Well, and you think it's like this new thing. Like,
right.
No, it's been around forever. Just everyone's finally now using the web for things that are not typically – it's not typically used for.
Well, and people say podcasting is a part of Web 2.0. And the reason that they say that is because the bandwidth for audio files wasn't as prolific or wasn't as available as it is nowadays.
Right.
So nobody did podcasting because it'd take 10 hours to download a half an hour show. So, anyway, that's my little bit of rant on.
We got to pause for one moment here while I take care of my injured dog.
Aww.
Aww. We'll be right back.
Yeah, hit the pause button, dude. Jeez. That unpauses it.
Sorry about that. My dog has an injured foot, so I have to walk her outside.
Walking the dog.
Anyway, where were we? Web 2.0.
Yeah, Web 2.0.
Yeah, it is a buzzword. I think it's retarded that you need it. The web is the web.
The web is
the web.
There's
no Web 2.0. It's all a fallacy.
Yeah. And they say that like iTunes is Web 2.0. It's fucking not.
It's
an application that uses the web.
Right.
Goddamn.
All right.
Well, okay, what story are we doing now, dude?
Wartime Radio, baby!
All right. Not that it's like, I don't know, we built all this anticipation over this story. And
it's not actually very good.
It's not actually, I don't know about not good.
It's not good.
Okay. Anyway.
Wartime Radio.
I saw this on Dig, and I guess there's some law that says during wartime, the president is the only authority that can regulate communication, electronic communication.
Okay.
So the FCC technically has no authority during wartime.
That is funny.
And so now the real question is that all the authority that the president has due to being in quote-unquote wartime, which I think officially and technically we are not in a wartime situation right now. But it's advertised as such to give the government more power.
Right.
So, in that sense, all of a sudden, file sharing becomes legal. Copyrights are completely pointless. We could play as much music on our podcast as we want.
Well, I don't understand that, though. So, just because the power is transferred to the president doesn't make all that stuff null and void.
No. But the president has to specifically say, "You can't do this."
I think that's retarded. I mean, fine. It could be some loophole.
Right.
But now that means that murder's legal because the president didn't specifically say murder's not illegal.
No. Only electronic communication.
Oh, electronic communication.
Electronic communication.
You see my point.
Does
the president, when this happens, the president now has to go through and read a list on the air? Otherwise, everything's now, all of a sudden, all those rules are gone?
Exactly.
And that's right. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, the idea behind it, the part that does make sense and the reason for it, is that, you know, during, say, World War II, if some country were to invade the U.S., it's like, don't worry about stepping on the toes of your local FM radio station if you're a ham radio operator.
Right.
It's like, get the word out there however you need to, however you can. There are absolutely no restrictions or limitations on electronic communication during wartime, because however you need to communicate with others, you do it.
I gotcha.
But the loophole then becomes, well, now if we apply that law to the modern age, and if the government wants to use this wartime excuse to grant itself all these powers, then all of a sudden file sharing becomes legal, and just about anything you do on the internet becomes legal then.
Yeah, that's true.
Bitches.
Bitches!
So take some of that.
Although I think, and this is related somewhat to another article we're going to do here, that people taking advantage of that means the government's now going to be putting more laws into place, which we don't need. Because some jackass is just trying to be a dick.
No, I think what's important about it, what might be interesting, is that if there's a case that were to use that argument, it would put a light on the fact that we are not in wartime. Because they would have to explicitly say, well, you can't use this argument because we are technically not in wartime.
Right.
And then everybody goes, wait a minute. We're not in wartime. Isn't that the excuse for the Patriot Act?
Well, yeah. So. I tend to think of it the other way. They'd spin it the other way. They'd spin it as in, okay, if this is the way you want to play it, then we're going to pass new legislation that says, you know, that now that doesn't even apply during wartime or something.
Well, they just remove this legislation.
Right. Yeah. And the reason I say that is, and I want to move on to this next article because I think it's somewhat similar, is... Solving
that's a horror. You actually pointed out your transition.
I did.
Yeah.
It is okay. Somewhat similar. Solving the okay. ESRB's modder problem. This is the
yeah.
problem, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about mods, like the hot coffee mod and
right.
now a new mod with what was it?
No, the hot coffee mod technically was not a mod. See, this is the problem, right?
Okay, well, let me get my point
okay.
first. Modders are people who build their own custom
components to games,
right?
Right?
And what's happened is, after reading this article, a lot of the stuff, the developers open it up so the modding community can
right.
partake in it.
It's like the old Doom had the Barney mod where you could go around
right.
and shoot Barney.
Well, the problem is now the modders are doing things that are pissing off
the
consumers,
ESRB.
The ESRB, and you know, ratings,
yeah.
like they're modding in, you know, naked women's skins and stuff
right.
like that. So now what are the gaming companies doing? They're thinking about closing the doors
right.
and saying, now you guys can't have access to
which
this stuff
which is horrible.
Anymore.
That's why I put this article on here, because
right.
I am furious.
And that's what I mean by people taking advantage of their ability to do this. These guys did this out of the goodness of their hearts, like, let's open this up and let people play in our code.
Right.
And now you do it, and some jackass comes along and has to ruin it for everybody.
Well, the thing is that I don't think there's any problem with a modder that wants to mod naked women into the skins on the latest MMO game, or whatever the case might be. Obviously, you can't do it to MMOs, but if you want to mod any fucking thing you want, you know, run around killing babies... It doesn't matter to me. I think that that's a good thing that people can do that.
Because killing babies is cool.
Killing babies is cool. Wow, I gotta pull my
yeah.
my brain.
Your
went,
tangent
my,
just
my
just...
brain went forward, and I had to pull it back a little bit. So the problem is that, for example. The hot coffee mod in Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
What happened with that is there was a component to the game, and Rockstar Studios sent the game to the ESRB.
Yes.
The ESRB said, well, these particular items in your game make this game a mature-rated game.
Right.
So to get the lesser one, I don't know what it is,
yeah.
to get that rating, you have to take these things out. Well, they didn't exactly take them out.
They just turned them off.
They just turned them off. They restricted the ability to get to them.
Right.
A particular modder of that game changed the game to allow you so that you could get to those things.
Yes.
Now, is this the fault of the game company? I think this sort of dances in the middle there.
I agree.
They should have just fucking taken it out.
I agree.
If they said it's not in there, it should have not been in there.
Yep.
But... this new modding situation, you have someone like you or me, me probably, especially with the naked chicks. Because I like naked chicks. I'm a big fan.
And boobies.
And boobies. I'm a big fan of boobies and naked chicks. I guess those sort of go hand in hand, though.
Two hands, actually.
Hand in hand. That it is the only thing that the gaming company has allowed the person to do is add on to the original game content.
Yeah.
So, here is my question. If you have Adobe Photoshop, right, and you paint titties onto a woman that has if you have a photo of a woman,
right,
and you paint titties on her, so should Photoshop only be sold to 18-year-olds?
No.
So this is what I'm saying. It's the exact same
thing. It's not the point, though. The point of this whole thing is their sales are directly being affected by the fact that people are modding these things.
What do you mean?
People find out that somebody's released a mod for the game that makes people naked, and then people stop buying it because they're like, naked people. They don't buy it. It's affecting the game company's sales. So what does the game company do? They say, no more modding. Why? Because some guy decided he wanted to distribute.
I think modding is more beneficial than detrimental to their sales.
I agree, but... But in this particular instance, it is not.
Yeah, I think that may be a short-term problem, because the only reason that some games like Wolfenstein and a lot of the first-person shooters are popular for such long periods of time.
Because you can mod.
Is because you have some people doing some serious work on some serious mods out there.
Right.
You know? And otherwise, they would not sell that game for such an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Without the modding community sort of pushing things.
No, and I agree that modding is a good thing.
So I really think that if a particular company turns the modding off, they're going to have some real problems. Now,
but they're between a rock and a hard place
right now. If all of their games are, if they're forced to rate them as at a mature rating, if you can mod the game, then that will hurt their sales.
And that's what they're saying.
Right.
Is right now because
so it's not the modder that's hurting their sales.
It's the modder.
It's the mature rating that's hurting their sales.
And the reason the mature rating is in question is because of a modder.
Right. But it's not the modder's fault.
It's the raider's
fault. The raiders are stupid for rating it at a mature rating.
Yes, you're right. You're right about that.
So the problem is that this game should not be rated at mature.
And again,
not that people shouldn't mod it.
Which goes back to my point. The people in charge of the ESRB should take into account that the game company can't control the modders.
I agree.
To that, well, they can by turning off modding, which in turn hurts their sales.
Well,
the mature rating also hurts their sales. So now the gamer's stuck in the middle, and they're the one who gets screwed.
Right.
Because the ESRB is too stupid to make the right decision, which is to say this is the way the game is. You know, and without the content, which the company has no control over. But again, the modders should be cautioned, you know, should be cautioned and say, look, if you want to build those mods, that's fine, and share them between your friends, but don't let them get out.
Right.
Because we don't want to have to turn this off, but
no,
if they're forced to.
No, they should be able to let them out. They should be able to give them to whoever the fuck they want. Publish them on boards. Give them to everybody.
So now that game coming goes out of business because they don't make any sales.
No, the ESRB needs to not make it mature.
But they won't. What if they don't? Now what do you do? The ESRB decides they're not going to change their mind and they're going to say, nope, this is a mature game because you can mod it to put naked people on it.
Then we shouldn't fucking sell any video games at all. Because what happens is if I disassemble the executable and mod it myself, even though it wasn't designed to be modded, it gets a mature rating.
Yeah.
So that means every game that has ever existed should have a mature rating.
That's my point. The thing is, the ESRB is stupid. I agree with that.
I want to kill them all.
Yes. They should all be dead.
Yes. I'm going to ass rape them first.
Like
then
Google.
Kill them all. Like Google.
And you see the contention there. It's like, look, the blame is where? It's nowhere. It's all up in the air. It should be a blameless thing. I think all video games should be filled with boobies,
everyone should
play
blame
them
it on the ESRB.
For free.
The blame clearly lies on the ESRB. Bastards. I'm mature, so I don't care.
Right.
Every time I try to buy a mature game, they're like, I don't think so.
They say, can we see your ID?
Yeah. They say, you're 35, but I don't think so. Oh, man. How far into this are we? Because holy shit. We're doing this on a lunch hour again here. 43 minutes? That's pretty good.
All right. Movie studios are...
I got all kinds of Xbox 360 stuff
I know. We'll skim over some of this now.
Okay.
Movie studios are still confused about how BitTorrent
works. Here's another rant I got.
That's because movie studios are stupid.
Yeah. Movie studios are so stupid that they don't understand the fact that BitTorrent is a method of distributing paid content. If I had a fucking... If I had a...
Use your big boy words.
An appliance that sat under my TV and I could order movies and TV and audio content.
Yes.
Would I care if my content were also being uploaded to other people?
No.
No, I wouldn't care at all. So, how do you reduce, if you're a movie studio, how do you reduce the load on your servers of distributing IP content?
BitTorrent.
Bit motherfucking torrent. God damn, these people piss me off.
Yeah.
It is not a tool created for evil. It is a tool that can be used for both good and evil.
Right. It's like the Force. There's a good Force and there's the bad Force.
Right. It's a lot like the Schwartz.
The Schwartz as well. There's an upside and a downside.
Downside. I never got that joke.
All right.
I
so
still don't really.
Once again, the people in charge of making decisions are... You know,
should
I.
be
the
us.
ESRB, the movie studios, they're stupid.
They should be us.
We should be
why,
making these
why
decisions.
Why do we not run the country? This is what be. I don't understand.
Here we go. Podzor for president.
Oh,
we're
going to
make T-shirts.
And you know what? We won't be president and vice president.
No.
We'll be co-presidents.
Co-presidents.
Co-presidents, motherfucker.
Can't we just all exist in harmony?
That's right.
Can't
somebody
we
shoots you, we still got a president.
That's right.
If somebody on... You know, like my Secret Service team just were to
or MySpace
to slip and fall and bam, put a bullet in your head just by accident.
Right.
Then I would be the sole president, and we'd still have one, and the country would still run okay.
There you go.
So
we run more than okay.
That's right.
We make good decisions,
oh,
not stupid.
Leanne's
decisions.
In charge of security for us, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Akamai adding podcast delivery services.
So Akamai, I just wanted to sort of, this is an aside. Akamai is a content distributor for the internet. Essentially what they do is they've got a bunch of servers all over the country, and they duplicate content on all those servers.
Is that like Web 2.0?
It is like, no. So if you've got some content that's going to get hit a lot, instead of everybody in the country hitting a single server, you can have the people in the Midwest hitting the Midwest server.
Sure.
The people in the South hitting the Southern server. Yeehaw. And the people on the West Coast hitting the Tofu server.
Right.
So it's just a way of distributing content. And they're specifically adding services for podcasting now.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. It's just one more sign that podcasting is getting big. And one of the things I've noticed lately is, because I'm on iTunes a lot looking at the new podcasts and stuff, that podcasting content is becoming more and more professional. And I said this a long, long time ago, in that what's going to happen with all this stuff is that the real winners, the professional level podcasts are going to kind of bubble up to the top.
Yes, they are.
But I think one of the nice things about podcasting as it stands right now is those podcasts are bubbling up to the top, but the pie is getting bigger at the same time. So we're, like, for you and I, we're probably getting more and more listeners as time goes by, but that's not because we have the same number of people listening to podcasts and they're just being attracted to us.
Right.
It's that there are so many more listeners.
There's a new influx
that
of people.
Just by random fucking chance, they're going to happen to download our podcast.
Right.
So.
Much to their chagrin.
So I apologize now if you're one of those people that just randomly downloaded
this
podcast.
Oh, this is a good
podcast.
Time to say www.rockstormedia.com. Yes!
And www.rockstormedia.com/forum.
Yes.
Which I think that should that be forums or forum?
Forum's fine. I'm not going to change it.
Forum. I guess the whole thing is a forum.
It is a forum.
It's a forum for discussion.
It's singular.
It's not forums for discussion.
No, it's a forum for discussion. It's singular.
So goddamn, I'm right.
You are right.
Motherfucker. HD on the 360. The Xbox 360.
Wait. Is this HD what? As in high def?
This is high def.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
So, this is the big Blu-ray HD DVD war thing going on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of people said, well, HD DVD is going to be on the 360, and you're going to have Blu-ray on the Sony, blah, blah, blah.
They're selling Blu-ray hard drives now, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're selling what?
Blu-ray something.
They're selling Blu-ray players.
Players?
Yes.
They had memory associated with them of some sort.
I don't know. Like you can get a player and hook it to your TV and
maybe that's
bam,
what it was.
You got Blu-ray.
All right, anyway.
But they only have like 4 titles for them.
Okay.
Anywho, the Xbox came out. They were like, the HD shit is just way too expensive.
Yeah.
We're just going to come out with a DVD version of the Xbox. And we'll come out with the HD DVD version later. Which kind of scared the shit out of me because I'm like, wait a minute, that means some of the games I won't be able to play or something weird like that. That is not the case. What they're doing is they're going to have a HD DVD add-on.
Of course they are.
So that you can buy this add-on. And one of the things I was watching an interview with during E3, and one of the things the guy said was, he said, our philosophy about our gaming system is that it's first and foremost a gaming system. If you want to watch HD quality movies on it, cool. You can do that with this additional hardware.
Sure.
But if it's not your if it's not the thing that the console was meant to do. And so he's arguing that one of the reasons that the PS3 $500,
yeah.
$600 for the good one, right? So the $600 version is one of the reasons for that expense is the Blu-ray drive. And meanwhile, he's saying, well, one of the only things it's going to get fucking used for is movies. Why bother?
Sony really wants to bust into that movie market, don't they?
Well, they have a huge amount of movie studios. Sony has so but, this is the downside of Sony is that they're trying to tie all of their media industries together.
Right.
And so what they really want to do is they want to sell the PS3 that has Blu-ray. Well, if you've now you got a Blu-ray player, you want to rebuy your old movies on Blu-ray discs, which of course is a technology owned by Sony, so they'll get royalties for the Blu-ray technology.
Right.
Plus, if you're buying Sony movies, they're
keep
getting money
trying
for
to
that.
Do that. It pisses me off. They keep trying to come up with these proprietary formats and trying to get the world to switch to them.
Yes, they do that.
It annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah, me too. But so the idea is that you're going to have an HD add-on available for the Xbox 360.
I think that's a smart move, actually.
And I think I'm not sure about this, but it seems to me that HD DVD is more. I don't think it's associated with any particular company.
Right.
I think it's an open format. I'm not sure about that.
I'd be curious to know about that.
Yeah. But if it is...
That would be cool.
If it is, I'm 100% for HDVD.
Me too.
HDVD?
HDDVD.
Even.
All right.
Movie stuff.
Ooh.
Sin City Part 2.
Sin City Part 2.
Which is not anything like Hot Shots Part 2. Except they both have Charlie Sheen in them.
What? Charlie Sheen is in Sin City 2?
What? Charlie Sheen's in Sin City 2?
Are we starting
rumors? That's crazy, dude.
Are we starting rumors? I love it.
I had no idea.
Wow, did everybody know that?
Yeah,
Charlie Sheen is going to be in Sin City 2. I have no idea if that's true.
Okay.
But it would be a fun rumor to start, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. See how far it goes.
Yeah.
Did you know I invented the phrase...
stick a fork in him, he's done?
Yeah.
You've told us that a million times.
Okay.
Yeah. when is this coming out?
I don't know. I'm exhausted.
Are you done? You're done.
I'm spooling down. A
couple
now.
Of other movie things,
I'm
real
coming
quick.
Down off my podcast high.
X3, the 25th of May, is going to make me blow my load.
Is it really?
Of wait, June?
May. I don't know.
Yeah, May 25th, I believe.
May 25th.
I believe that's correct. You know what? If I'm wrong, I don't care.
I'm getting hard right now.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. I've got a pack of Rolaids in my pants.
Mission Impossible 3, I've heard it was decent. I've heard it was a fun film.
I am so turned off by, what's his name, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. I'm going to go see it because I like Mission Impossible, and I think he's a crazy, crazy motherfucker.
As always, I'll wait for the...
But I'm going to go watch it at some point.
Hey, what are you doing Saturday morning?
I don't know.
Okay. I got 2 free passes to go see movies.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, wondering if maybe you wanted to go to something.
I don't know. Are we having a date on the air right now?
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Huh? How you doing?
Right, yeah.
All right, well, only if you buy me dinner, too.
Okay.
Can
you give me a reach around?
Really uncomfortable.
So, Sin City 2, I don't know. It looks kind of interesting. My opinion about Sin City was that it was a shtick-based movie. In that if it...
I do not think that means what you think it means.
If it hadn't been as stylized as it was, it wouldn't have been very interesting.
Well, it wouldn't have been Sin City then. That was the point. I mean, the style, the whole thing is part of being
right.
Sin City.
Right. No. So I'm not saying it was a bad movie because of it. I'm saying the reason that it was a good movie was because it was of a particular style.
Yeah.
So, will I be as interested in number 2? Because now number 2 is not original anymore.
Right.
Somebody's already done it.
Right.
You know, it was like the second Matrix. The Matrix was a good...
The novelty wears off.
The novelty wears off.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, I don't know. Whatever.
You know, I didn't read this really because I thought it was...
Did I say on the forums that when... I put XIII, and that I had been looking for I to IX for a while.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
You're insane. I originally thought that you said Sim City 2, and I'm like, why did he put Sim City
Sim
in the
City
movie
2.
Stuff? The video game Sim City 2.
Sim City 2K.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't realize Sin City. Now
Sin
I'm going to have to go look at it.
City.
Sin City. Sin City. Okay, nothing in movie making. RPG stuff, real quick. I heard this on Geeks on.
Ooh.
Palladium Books is going under.
Really?
Yeah, they did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Rifts. So anybody who wants to help them out, I mean, I looked at their website the other day. It's still up. Buy Palladium Books. They're selling prints for $50 that are made.
Really?
Made and numbered by the owner. This guy apparently has sold his house, or remortgaged his house. Sold his 25-year-old toy collection, is doing everything under the sun to do that. And it was a combination of things. Some things didn't take off. Apparently they had some sort of...
Somebody was screwing
him from the inside. And
I think that probably a lot of what has happened, especially to the pen and paper industry, is video games.
Yeah.
Video games has taken a lot of that business away. And in all honesty... as much as it sucks, there's only so much you can do for the buggy makers when you invent cars.
Right.
It's not like you can say, well, we're not going to produce cars.
You give them a street, you slap a hat on them and call them a... What are those guys that ride the carts?
Buggy.
An Amish person.
Amish person.
What you do.
Yes.
Role-playing games are the Amish of the gaming world.
Wow. Role-playing gamers are the Amish of the gaming world.
Yeah, but I do both, so... What so am I like a new age Amish?
You're just shh. or you're You're just
Can I just be the eh?
You're the sure. You can just be the eh. You're an eh. Sterling the eh. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think for Palladium, they need to maybe sell some of their, what do they call that? I don't know.
Booty?
Booty? But booty.
But
what's another
but
name for booty. Pirate treasure?
But booty.
Okay. They need to sell some of their titles. I mean,
well, that's the problem.
Make a Palladium role-playing game, video game.
That's the problem. They had all that stuff lined up, and it didn't go through. They had a lineup for a Palladium, a version of Rifts, an MMORPG in Rifts.
No shit. That would have been sweet!
And none of it has gone through
yet.
None
of it panned out.
And the problem is, you know, and plus, apparently, there's a big slump in the RPG market right now.
I believe it.
And I believe it,
it's a little oversaturated, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I think with the video games, especially the MMORPGs and stuff like that, are getting better. Dungeons & Dragons Online is a perfect example, in my opinion. Is it just like the tabletop game? No. Is it a hell of a lot easier to get together with your friends and play it?
Yeah.
Yes. Because my buddy who's got a kid can sit at home with
That's
his kid in his hand and play the game.
That's right.
Not have to go anywhere. Doesn't have to do anything.
No, I totally agree.
I mean... On the one hand, it sucks because I can harken back to the days of yore when we get together and we're, you know, drinking the Mountain Dew and all that stuff was fun, but I don't know, man. Computers
and we
rock.
Still do that, which is great.
Right.
Know? I would never want to give that up.
But once every 3 months.
Right.
With the computer game, you can get together once a week. Feasibly get together at least once a week.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it goes back to the horse and buggy thing, you know? It's like, yeah, the buggies is kind of fun. It's open air and... The clop-clop of the horse and all that jazz.
Sure, and you can make nice furniture.
Right. Right, yes. Well, you can make the tops of nice furniture.
No, they make the whole thing.
Well, not you.
I don't. Because
you're just ish.
I'm just eh. I just make the middle.
That's right.
But yeah, and it's nice, but
so
sometimes you want to...
Property.
Hop in that.
That's what it is. They have to market their property.
Yeah.
Which is...
So that turned into a huge thing.
All right.
Palladium Books. Go check it out. Make a donation. Do something.
All right.
I'm not.
I'm hungry. It's lunchtime.
It is lunchtime. Yeah. All right. Real quick, or maybe not real quick, because this is you talking about your new birthday present. First of all, happy birthday, bitch.
Thank you.
And Dan's wife, the lovely lady she is, bought him an Xbox 360 for his birthday.
Dude. Totally unexpected.
That's awesome.
Totally unexpected.
That's awesome.
So
tell us. Give us the skinny.
It's fucking amazing. That's all I have to say.
You can't leave us hanging like
okay.
that.
Okay. No. you know, you ever noticed when people say that's all I have to say? That's never all they have to say.
No, you say it because people go, that's not really all you have to say, is
right,
it?
Right, right.
It's like a rhetorical statement, not a question.
That's right. I don't know if there is such a thing.
It's rhetoric.
It's rhetoric. Ooh, good point. So... Xbox 360, it's all high def, which is awesome.
Oh,
now,
that's nice.
I don't have anything high def in the house. My projector is exactly 1/4 HD.
Mm.
Which, the nice thing about it being 1/4 HD is that whenever you have anything that's less than HD and you're running HD content on it, it has to use a scaling algorithm.
Right.
So it has to figure out which pixels to remove.
Yes.
The nice thing about 1/4 HD. Is it removes exactly 3 for every 1.
Okay.
The algorithm is very, very simple, very efficient, and it always looks the best quality it can.
That's the way we like it.
Right. So, the HD is... The content is amazing. It looks
great.
So good. It looks so good. But, just to talk about the 360 real quick... I got the one with the hard drive.
Okay.
The wireless controller feels good in my hand. it feels a lot like a regular Xbox controller, the S version.
Okay.
You can turn the Xbox on from your controller.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It auto shuts off if you haven't used it. For a few minutes, so it saves the batteries.
Oh, very
good.
And
you can easily turn it back on, and it just connects
up right away. I was
curious
about battery life.
Yep. The battery life, I'm not sure yet, but it takes 2 AA's. And to tell you the truth, even if I go through a couple in a month,
not a big deal.
It'll be totally worth it.
I go through that mainly in the mouse and my wireless mouse.
The wireless controller is so nice to have, to not have to worry about any of that stuff.
Not having to wind the cable up when you're done and unwind it.
Your Xbox Live stuff hooks right into your controller.
What do you mean?
The Xbox Live headset.
Oh, right.
Hooks right into your controller, so everything is wireless pretty much. You have a wire running from your headset to your controller, but...
Nice.
You know, who cares? You can go anywhere with it.
Right.
It's so nice. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
You can get to Xbox Live from within any game. cool. Within any game, they have a little symbol in the corner that comes up when your friends go on or offline.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, bing, so-and-so is online.
So they tried to build some community into the whole thing.
You can also specify what kind of gamer you are, whether you're a casual gamer, whether you're sort of a friends and family gamer.
Gay gamer?
Well, I don't know about that. There's only four categories.
Oh.
Yeah, so gay gamer is not one of them, actually. whether you're a pro gamer, they call it, or a trash talker. So you can kind of, I guess that's included in your profile, and when they line you up with other gamers, they try to get you together with like-minded gamers.
That's nice.
Which is nice for me.
That's
because
nice.
Because, you know what, I don't really care about the trash talking stuff. It doesn't really bug me, but I guess it does kind of. It kind of bugs
it annoys
it gets,
me.
It gets irritating after a while,
it is,
and
it's
a lot of
very
times,
irritating.
This is the one thing that bugs me endlessly about Xbox Live, and I don't know why people do this. You get into a game of Halo 2, right, and you have the screen that comes up before you actually get into gameplay.
Yes.
Because people have a microphone in front of their mouth,
they have to talk.
Not only talk, but sing. Singing and talking and just any fucking stuff that comes out of their gob. And you know what? People may think it's hypocritical because I'm doing it right now.
You make a fine point.
Right. But there's nothing after this podcast that you're waiting for.
Right.
You downloaded and are listening to this podcast because, for some odd reason...
You chose to,
right? I have to turn the volume down every fucking time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to the 360.
Okay.
One of the things that I've been really trying to do is... I can hook it up to my iPod.
What?
Yeah. So I can hook it up to my iPod so I can have... I can select a playlist from my iPod, have that music playing in the background while I play my game.
How do you hook it up to your iPod?
It's got USB ports on it.
So you just USB it into there?
Yeah, it's got four USB ports on it.
That is badass.
Yeah. So I just plug the iPod into the USB port, and I can look through my playlist, and in fact, I could do that with my hard drive. It'll scan the whole hard drive and look for MP3s and playlists.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. But one of the things I've been trying to do through my home network is hook it up to a media center, a Windows Media Center.
Okay.
Because then you can stream pictures, music, and video.
Very nice.
I've been trying to do that. And let's see. You can download arcade games for it.
Like old school stuff?
Old school. You can get Joust and Robotron.
Gauntlet.
Yes, you can get Gauntlet for it, actually. Or Ghosts and Goblins, one of the two.
Ooh,
I
like that
one,
too.
Yeah. They're coming out with more and more stuff. You can get, like, a billiards game. Now, all that costs money.
Sure.
But it's not much. It's genuinely not much. You can download movie trailers. I downloaded a trailer for X-Men 3 in high def on my projector.
Man.
Booyah. I mean, it's really sweet.
That's
so it's
fantastic.
Sort of like a... It is primarily a place to play your games, but it also...
It's a big media playground.
It has some media player attributes to it, too. One of the things I kind of wish it would do, that I can't be too surprised that it doesn't, is I wish it would play the videos that are on my iPod.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That
but,
would be nice.
I mean, the iPod is Apple and the Xbox is Microsoft, so it doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah, that's not a
and
big deal.
And with so many different formats for video that it doesn't surprise me. So I'll get into the games.
Well, I have a quick question, though. Yeah. Now, you know, Sony just came out and announced that their new controllers are now going to have a six-degree rotation type thing.
Yeah, I figured the next episode we'll do a little bit of E3 stuff.
Yeah, well, I was just curious what you thought about that now, because the Xbox released before anybody, they really even knew what was going on at the other two companies.
Yeah,
and now both of the companies, both Nintendo and...
I think
the PlayStation are going to have the controllers that have the
gameplay elements in it. The gyroscopic
motion
elements.
Of the controllers.
This is my feeling on that. Is that I think that the PlayStation 3 is grossly overpriced.
Oh, me too.
And I think the novelty feel of that will be fulfilled by the revolution, by the Wii, the Nintendo Wii.
Of course.
Because I'm going to get a Wii.
Who's not?
I'm not going to get an
Xbox. I'd sell my left nut for a Wii right
well,
now.
Well, and it, my choice was is I'll either get an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3. And I was kind of holding out for the PlayStation 3. My wife got me the Xbox 360 for my birthday. I'm very happy with it. And I got to say, I think that the PlayStation 3 is just so overpriced. I mean, you're talking about walking out of a store for $800, $900, if you get an extra controller and two games with your PlayStation 3.
And that's outrageous.
That's insane. Outrageous. That's insane. So, I think that well, I was kind of like, oh man, that's going to be cool. When I saw the stuff for the Wii, I was just like, yeah, that'll be cool enough.
Cooler.
That'll be cooler. Plus, I get to play Zelda and Metroid and Mario and
especially after I saw, we'll do a little E3 preview. Some
yeah,
of the Wii
Metroid
stuff
video.
That I saw there.
The Metroid video was
it blew my mind. It blew my mind.
That's the way to. Well, it's funny because they were doing light guns on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And now they're sort of
they're built in
to some degree going back to the light gun.
Yeah, they're built in. Well, you can do so much gun. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
All right, so talk about the games you got.
The games. I got Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Yeah. That's an RPG, right?
Oh, and it is an amazing RPG.
Damn.
It is absolutely amazing. It has the real feel of an MMO, to tell you the truth. But it also has a much richer story than any MMO I've ever played.
Right.
I've only played two, so I couldn't say. But it's not like here's a quest, do this quest, here's the quest, do this quest, here's the quest, do this quest. Is that they're all interrelated. And the game is really, really deep at the same time in that you can go completely off the main game.
Oh, nice.
And there are like four or five guilds. And each guild has a set of quests with it. There's like a mage's guild and a thieves guild and a fire's guild and a something else guild.
Is this single player only?
This is single player only. There are like 20 different classes, and you can actually make your own, which is what I chose to do. You can design the face and appearance of your character.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
And so it's really, really deep. The world is huge. You can buy houses.
Holy
You can
crap.
Own castles. And the graphics are stunning. Absolutely stunning. The fields of grass waving in the wind as you run through them. I was in a thunderstorm the other night. And the rain's coming down, the lightning flashes, and you can see it on the clouds above, and the trees are all blowing in the one direction, and it's absolutely amazing. Great, great game. I guess I have to give it a D20, don't I?
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about this.
Roll for that, bitch.
I think it's going to be the first 20.
Really?
I think it's going to be the first 20.
Wow.
Now, you have to be into role-playing games. And it's got first-person elements to it, right? Because that's the view of your character.
Okay.
It's a first-person. But it is, you know, the different characters react to you differently based on your race. They react to you differently whether you have your weapon out or not. I mean, it's just an unbelievably deep game. It's so good. It's so good and so addictive too. So
that sounds sweet.
I say I'll
I gotta come over and check it out now.
You do
now
because it's really amazing. It's an amazing game. So the next one I got was Tomb Raider Legend.
All right.
Now the Tomb Raider series had a little bit of a dip to it. The first two games that came out were really amazing. Then, I don't know, they sort of lost their edge. This game, I believe, in my opinion, is the real number three. It is a really good game, good storyline. The only problem I have with it is that her character, it's a little bit difficult to control her character. And that just might be because I'm getting used to it. But the puzzles are fun. It reminds me a lot of Prince of Persia.
Yeah, they're similar in tone, I think.
Yeah. Good puzzles, good fighting elements to it. But I'd give it an 18.
An 18.
On the D20 scale. Great game, great audio, and good acting elements. That's the other thing, is Oblivion has Jean-Luc, the guy that plays Picard.
Oh, really? Patrick
Stewart. He plays the Emperor.
Awesome.
They've got great actors, all kinds of good stuff.
Man.
So,
well, that's very cool.
18. And my last little bit, because we probably got to wrap this up.
Texas Hold'em
Poker Pack. So I'm so addicted to poker.
So is this for the DS?
This is for the DS. Right? This is for the DS. I'm so addicted to poker. Poker Stars, got poker on my cell phone. Just, I don't know what it is, but my life is now consumed by poker. And I had this choice about getting a poker game for the DS, or there was another $20 one for the PSP.
Okay.
And I was like, the DS. And the reason I did the DS is because graphics don't really matter, and its battery life is longer.
Well, there you go.
This game, though, this is the problem. You know how they're the little itty-bitty cards?
Yeah.
Right? This game would be more useful as toilet paper than actually playing the fucking game. This has got to be... The game on my fucking cell phone is better than this game.
Ouch.
This game is horrible. It is absolutely horrible. The top screen graphics, like, they lay everybody out and they give people chips and they show you what your cards are. You can't read the cards.
What the hell?
Now, they have a bottom graphic that show your cards a little bit closer. But it's horrible. It's just, think of the most unimaginative, boring poker game you can possibly think of. The only saving grace to this game is that it has other card games. Like, you can play Euchre, and you can play Hearts, and you can play Spades, but the only one that's worth playing anyway is Euchre.
But it's called Texas Hold'em Poker Pack.
Yes. It's horrible. Do not buy this game. It's terrible. Don't buy this game unless you see it being sold on eBay from me.
From you, and then buy it.
Then buy it, and pay an exorbitant price.
So how much was
it.
The game?
$20.
$20.
$20.
For a big piece of Duke, huh?
Oh, it, yes.
What's the rating? Give it a
D20 would say
rating.
That's being a D20 rating?
Yep.
You want a D20 rating?
I want a D20 rating.
I would say it's a 1.
Oh!
This
critical
game
failure.
Is a critical failure. A critical failure. It hurt me to purchase this game. It hurts me to talk about purchasing this game.
My day is just a little bit brighter after hearing that.
I'm exhausted. So that's it. Let's wrap this thing up.
All right, everybody. We've come to the end of another amazing episode of Podzor.
The Podzor Media Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. Ganza.
www.podzor.com. Oh, shit. We don't have Podzor,
no,
do we?
I thought about that just today.
We should probably get Podzor.
We should probably get Podzor.com, and we thought about starting a Podzor MySpace.
Yes. We should get Podzor.com for
sure.
Yeah,
we should.
And actually, we just need to get it and redirect it to Rockstar Media.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, the Rockstar Media Extravaganza, or Podzor Media Extravaganza, I don't give a fuck what you call it. I'm sick of the whole thing. Let's call the whole thing off, right?
I'm going to smack you.
You say Pazadzor, I say Razoxor. Pazadzor, Razoxor.
Shut up. Shut up. All right. I'm Sterling, and I'm telling Dan to shut up.
Yeah, that's it. I'm Dan, and I'm shutting up.